He said, I plan to get up at 6 o'clock every morning and take a long, vigorous run, then take a nice, refreshing shower before breakfast. And his friend was so impressed. Then his friend asked the question. He said, when are you going to start? And the man said, I haven't decided yet. See, that the pause is for laughter. How many times have we made a New Year's resolution or at any time but failed to keep it? I do that a lot. I don't know about you. Today we are living in a world full of fear, uncertainty. We're living in a world that is facing and struggling with a global pandemic, with mental depression is on the increase. People are concerned about jobs, job security, the future. About the election. You know, it seemed like our country is divided, you know, contesting the election. So we can go on and on and on and on. And some people might ask this question, where has God been through all of this? And my answer is this, that God is still on his throne. God is still in control of our world events. And so as we move into a new year, a year of uncertainty, let us follow some of these basic principles I'm going to share with you today, three of them. And the first one comes to us from Romans 8, 31 through 39. We're more than conquerors. Now, I believe Paul is encouraging us not to fret over what God will do. And as we look at these passages, at the close of this chapter, Paul is asking a series of questions. And then he answers them. Verses 31 and 32. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is with us, who can be against us? Answer 32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? How was your New Year's? You do anything? You know? Well, I'm going to tell you about mine. We had a wild party. We start out playing Phase 10. Jan won. There was just the four of us, just part of my family was there. So Jan won the Phase 10. I got last, but that did not bother me. I thought I have to set the example in the family, so I was a good loser. I cried in the bathroom, but they didn't see that or whatever. We came home about 11:30 New Year's Eve. I turned on the television, and I've been hearing this all week. Well, I watch the news or whatever. People saying, 2020 is over. It's past. What a horrible year. 2020 is gone. Now 2021 is here. Now we're hoping, praying for a good, good year. Well, God gave us 2020. And since God gave us his best on the cross, whatever awaits us this year, the good, bad, and the ugly, we know that he will supply all of our needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Sometimes we just look at our circumstances and we think, where is God? God is here. He's with us. Emmanuel. Sometimes we forget how quickly society, not you guys, you're right, spot on, but people will forget the truths of the Bible. Just when things go south or whatever, everything goes out the window, every truth, when we need to really more than ever, I believe in this year, We need to focus. We need to focus on God's truths. We need to focus on them, pray over them, ask the Spirit to convict us and encourage us in the faith, to hang in there. Friends, 2021 might not be that great year that people are anticipating. I'm not preaching gloom and doom, but, you know, just take a look around at what's going on. But Jesus, Paul is reminded, Jesus is always, always, always there. Verse 33, who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? Answer, it is God who justifies. My daughter, one of my daughters came to the house yesterday and wanted to talk. And she had just visited one of her co-workers who had not been working for a while. And there's a lot of domestic issues going on in that family. Two older children, two younger ones. To the point where, as my daughter was sharing, she started to cry. She was crying because she was grieving in her heart for this family and what the mother shared with my daughter. And this has been going on, these situations in the family, for months. And Connie has tried to encourage her, said, you know what, Irene, come to church. You know, I'll even pick you up. Come to church. You need to be in church. You need Christ in your life. You need healing. Your family needs healing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Maybe, maybe, maybe. So Connie, months ago, gave her a devotional and thought that would be a good starter. But then what happened yesterday was really, now DCFS is getting involved. So we know there's a lot of heavy stuff going on in that family. Irene needs to know, that family needs to know what all of us need to really embrace, many of us have. We need to know, she needs to know that she is justified, that she's accepted, that she's forgiven, and she's loved by Jesus Christ, the one who died for her on that cross. Sometimes we kind of overlook the cross. You know, when we are hurting, when we are down, at least for me, when I'm just kind of not there, I'm in my dry period, I go back to the cross. That's where the power is. That's where the truth lies, what Jesus Christ has done for us. Amen? Amen. It's something that we just really, really need to embrace. Verse 34. Who is he that condemns? Answer, Jesus Christ, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Christians, we need to understand that Jesus Christ is our intercessor. And he's there, he's at the right hand of God. Jesus never leaves us. We're going to be talking more about this. Christ never leaves us. We know that, don't we, as Christians? He's always there. He's always there pleading our case on our behalf. Wow, to me that is awesome. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, and here Paul goes on, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? Verse 36, as it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Answers, verse 37, no, in all things we're more than conquerors through him, Jesus, who loved us. Verse 38, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow. So who or what can separate us from Christ this year? Nothing. Not even our worst fears. Our poor health, broken relationships, or even death. Nothing can separate us. Not even the devil himself can separate us from God's loving intervention. You know, as a pastor through the years, I've had many, many highs. I've had many, many lows. I've had people that have shared with me some good news in their lives, what God has done for them. They're so joyful. They're so excited. What God, just God is moving in their lives. And one of the favorite things I like to do is I like to marry people. I love to meet with a young couple. They're so in love. You know, and we talk about the wedding. We do some counseling, whatever. So there's so many positive things, and you meet so many wonderful people. That's one of the blessings of being a pastor. I've pastored a few churches, and I remember so many of those people that I ministered to, and they ministered to me. You know, there was a couple in my first church. They were Glory and Bob Sternberg, and they were on the calling committee that called me to that church. And they were probably at the time in their late 50s. And my first church, I was young. I was younger. I was young and innocent when it came to the church. Went through all this. You know, you do all the education. It does not prepare you for church. Things come up like they don't teach in school, in a classroom. But Glory and Bob, they would step out of the box. That's one thing I loved about them. They were willing to try new things. A new pastor comes in. I had all sorts of ideas. They kind of tempered me a little bit. But boy, they were on board for so many things we did in that church. It was a wonderful church for us. One of our best experience we've ever had in a church. Bob passed away a few years ago. Now we're going back 30 some years, and now and then, you know, I still would call Gloria and see how she was doing. They were big farmers in the area there. They retired, and they moved to Texas to be with one of their sons in that area. But all through those years, we'd stay in touch with the Sternbergs. And so I called Gloria about 2-3 months ago, just to touch bases with her. And I talked with her. She just celebrated her 90th birthday, something like that. And she sounded good. So Jan, as our tradition, we send out the Christmas cards. And we sent one to Gloria. We got it back the other day, deceased. And I was working on this message when Jan said, Jan was not really overly, but really concerned and felt so burdened, not burdened for her family, but Gloria, she's such a wonderful person. When a person dies, their loved ones, we know where they're at. But it still doesn't take away that physical loss on this side of heaven. I bring this up because I thought of Gloria. Nothing can separate us. Gloria loved her Lord. I know that. I ministered to her. I know that. So when I got over the sting of her loss, then I started rejoicing because I know where Gloria is. You talk about having a Christmas celebration. Whoa. It's off the charts for her and those who have gone with the Lord. That leads us to number two. God's unlimited power is at our fingertips. Think about that. Philippians 4, 12 and 13. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do anything through him who gives me strength. Now, what I'm sharing with you is not a complaint. All right? It's not a complaint. Jen and I, the other day, we were just talking about our friends that have, most of our friends are retired, some aren't. And so we were just talking about what we know of, and we're pretty sure about this. Those that are retired, and we looked at each other and said, wow, let's look at this. You know, those retired, the overwhelming majority of our friends who have retired are better off financially, far better off than we are. Now, that's not a complaint. That's ministry. You know, I tell these young people, if you're getting into the ministry, you want to be a pastor, if you think you're going to be a pastor, you know, and you're going to be making a whole boatload of money and have a nice, sweet little retirement package, some do, I'm not saying that. But we've learned to be content. We literally have learned to be content. We've done, praise God, pretty much everything we've wanted to do through the years. We've gone on vacations that we wanted to go on. When we needed some extra money, God seemed to always provide at the right time. We don't know how. Some are just flat-out miracles. But we knew that God was in charge. We were content. And so that was very, very important for us to really, in our, you know, our walk with the Lord. I want you to consider this. Astronomers tell us that the number of stars in the universe are too numerous to count. All the stars that God created in the universe, they are too numerous to count. And that's important because we need to understand that yet we have access to the immeasurable power of God. God's unlimited power is available to us. It's right here. It's for the asking. Do we ask? You know, I always say sometimes the faith is one ask at a time. God, give me the strength to do this. God, God, help me to overcome this weakness that I have. It's this asking God, asking him, and praising him. Consider this, the Lord Jesus, the Lord of the galaxies. Jesus is the one who controls everything above and below. He is the same Christ who controls our Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. Jesus knows. He knows when you have a cold. He knows when you're happy. He knows when you're sad. He knows when you're frustrated. He even knows your favorite food. He knows your likes and dislikes. That's our God. That's our Savior. He knows us personally. He knows everything about us. Even your thoughts right now. Maybe some of you are thinking, wow. Well, what are we going to do this afternoon? Do you think the Bears are going to beat the Packers? Well, I don't know. That's another story. My point is, God knows all of this. He knows what's in our heads. He knows. I can't say, hey, Jan, how are you feeling? I'm feeling great. I know she's not. God knows all of these things because he has created us. God incarnate. Our creator, and he lives in our hearts. When God lives in our hearts, what a comfort that is of knowing that he cares. If you're down, then God cares. When you're hurting, Jesus cares. He says, give it to me. Give it to me. Amen? Okay. Number three, Again, Jesus is always there. Let's go back to Romans 8:34. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, who is interceding for us. How many times have we prejudged someone? Have you ever had, maybe growing up in your community, whatever, the person that everybody considered was on the wrong side of the tracks, didn't measure up? You know, perhaps maybe they wrote in the school annual, most likely not to succeed. In our own eyes, they were frowned upon, not good enough, etc., etc., etc. I think all of us have experienced some of that. My one granddaughter became engaged. And I remember when she was going with Jeremy, here's what I heard. He's got tattoos. He's got tattoos. And not only that, he's got earrings. He wears rings. Oh, it gets better. And not only that, he's got like something like an earring in his nose. And then I heard from my daughter and son-in-law, but this guy, he's an unbelievable Christian. And he's very involved in Calvary and Vox. I guess that's the, is that for the pre-high schoolers or whatever? He's, is it? After high school. That's after high school. Thank you. And he's one of the leaders there. He is on staff at Calvary, doing sound and other technical things for them. I've had many conversations with Jeremy, and he's one of the finest young Christian men I've ever met. I rejoice when I see that Jeremy and Leah are doing Bible studies together. I enjoy when I see that they're doing ministry together. What's my point? Sometimes we don't know. Sometimes we don't know. And we tend to judge and think, well, now me, I don't want a tattoo. I don't want to wear earrings. That's beside the point. The point is what's in the heart, isn't it? It's what's in the heart. You know, I want my children, my grandchildren, to find a significant other that loves Jesus. If they love Jesus, who am I? Who am I to get in that way when they love the Lord? It's all about the heart, my friends. So when we look at other people, when we minister, when we seek to witness, we need to witness with our hearts. We need to do that. You know, sometimes I hear this, the world, the world, the world, the world, the world, the world. That's the problem, is the world. I say, no, no. And I believe the problem is the church. We tend to beat each other up. We tend to do that. We tend to say, my church is more spiritual than your church. Well, some are. There's no doubt about that. There's some churches I would tell you don't even enter. They're liberal. They're apostate. They're not there. Judging is God's call. I look for the fruits of the Spirit in people. I'll leave that judging to God. But what's in your heart? Usually what's in your heart, that translates over to what's in your heart when it concerns Jesus Christ. Does that make any sense to you? No one should condemn. No one should say, that person is not good enough. That person is worthless. Maybe that was your background. That was mine. I was considered in my community one of those. Never amount to anything. Look at his father. Like father, like son. Never amount to anything. Well, maybe I haven't. But then, by the grace of God, maybe I have. I've had people in my own hometown were floored when they found out that I was a pastor. It just floored them. They could not believe. I had one person actually didn't say it, Becca, but I went to a funeral. Now, I'm really bloviating here a little bit. But I went to this funeral back home. Rarely do I go back my old hometown. I went there because their mutual, the friend had passed away. I went to the funeral. One person looked at me, and he stared at me, and he watched me. And finally, I come up to him and said, "Hey, Steve, how you doing?" I hadn't seen him since high school. But he knew all about me because at that time, I was dating his sister. I know. I tell you, Maria, I could go on with this story all day long, but I can't. But here's my point. He looked at me in disbelief, like, "What happened to you? What happened to you?" I took that, his look and his attitude, as really praise and thank you, Jesus. That's what Jesus Christ can do. All things through Christ who strengthens us. Never, my friends, I realize there are some bad people out there. I understand that. I'm not naive. But sometimes when you look at someone or you hear about someone, pause. Because you never know what God's going to do in that person's life. Pause. And it's amazing because you know what that does? That, for me, when I see, you know, Fred Smith, who I in high school, I said, "Oh, man, Fred was really a bad dude." And then I go to class reunion, I see Fred is maybe, you know, has a family, is involved in his church, is a great citizen, whatever. You say, that's cool. Fred made it. By the grace of God, he made it. God is so good, isn't he, all the time? I have one other thing I want to share with you, and that is I ran across this story as I close this part of the service, and this story is interesting to me because, well, I'll just share it with you. Last year, police chief David Wilson of Cooley, Alabama. He was the police commissioner, and he retired after 30. What makes his story unique is this. He wrote a public letter expressing thanks to his family, his community, and those who had encouraged him and worked alongside him for all those years. Then, in conclusion of his letter, he offered a special thanksgiving to his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is all public. It was all out there. And I want to share with you his words to his Lord, okay? And I'm going to quote them. He said, and I quote, "He, Jesus, is my life. I'm so very thankful for the hedge of protection he has kept around me in the 37 years as a cop. With the many close calls I've had, I'm so thankful that he answered my prayer. My daily prayer to keep the officers I've worked with my whole career safe from death in the line of duty. Thank you for keeping all my employees safe from death with COVID also. Then he closed with this sentence. Most of all, thank you, Jesus, for redeeming this sinner. Let us carry this truth of assurance and redemption with us throughout the new year, trusting that we can be totally secure in the great love that God has for us. Because he's always there. And because he's always there, we can do all things through him who gives us strength. This year, my friends, as you face this year, no matter what it is in your workplace, in your family, or whatever, Paul is reminding us, listen, you can do all things. All things are possible through him who gives you strength. And I know many of you, you do that. When you come upon some issues in your life, some troubles, concerns, or whatever it might be, you go right to your Lord. You need the reminders. You need the reassurance that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I've blown it many times, but I'm going to tell you something. There have been other many times when I prayed that prayer. God, you can do all things. You can do all things through me. I prayed that a lot when I was going through my ordination exams. God, you can do all things. I can do all things through you. I've learned that to be true. And I know that you've learned that to be true as well. And this communion reminds us, don't let anybody put you down. Don't let this world beat you up. Don't let your family or friends tell you that you are a piece of junk. Don't let the world tell you that your church is not good enough, or that the pastor of a small church is not anointed. You can only be anointed in the big churches, which is so wrong. No, that's not God. Trust in your Jesus that he will give you strength. Do that, my brothers and sisters. As we come, that's what this communion reminds us of. That Jesus Christ died on the cross and was resurrected. And right now, Rudy, right now, Jesus is sitting where? Right hand of God. What is he doing? He's interceding for each and every one of us. Ah, my friend Dewey, he's going through some hard problems, but he's going to know that I'm with him. Becky, my brothers, he's there. And I'm going to tell you something. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Embrace him. Let him love you. In 2021, let Jesus in your heart even more. You know, isn't it true that sometimes we say, how can I love my family anymore? You know, how can I love my kids anymore, my wife? And sometimes we translate and say, how can God love, how can that happen? How can he love me more? How can I love him more? But we can. We can love him because his love is unlimited. Let him love you. Let Jesus just wrap his arms around you. Around your family, around your circumstances. When you do, you will experience blessings beyond, beyond, beyond your understanding. Why? Going right into communion. Because Jesus Christ died for just for you and for me. It amazes me. If Jesus died on the cross, which he did, and then he was resurrected,